ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Was yesterday the end?
I'm sure the NCAA will clear them because they cleared Baylor.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because a lot of people are mad at the NCAA. Is Art Briles the one that ought to be mad?
Interesting take.
Should Art Briles be the one that's mad?
Why would he be mad? It cleared him to get another
job. Yeah, but
job.
Has it? Has it really? Really, has it cleared Art Briles?
Well, according to his lawyer, it has.
Yeah, but not you. I can already tell. Are you going to be mad if he gets a job?
Or the court of public opinion.
Well, but that is the problem right there. I cannot wait to talk about this because what do we really know about what Art Briles did? Nothing
or didn't do.
But what do we know about what that really is? You know what we know? What was reported
right
by the people that just jumped to a conclusion looking for a face of the scandal.
Okay.
And that happened to be Art Briles because he was the most out front person at Baylor at the time.
Right.
Do those same people not owe him a little bit of an apology, at least from the NCAA investigation standpoint?
Because he
didn't do anything according to the investigation, and now he can't get a job. Is this a case where...
Wouldn't some say he didn't do anything is the problem?
But has there been any proof that you can prove that he
had lack of control of his program?
According to the people that are reporting the story, not according to the people that investigated the problem.
I think it's just damning on him that he had no idea this stuff was going on, if that's what they said. Shouldn't he know everything is going on, ins and outs of his program? I'm not saying every college coach knows what's going on.
Of course they don't.
Ins and outs.
Of course they don't.
But this was major. We're talking sexual assaults and all this stuff.
That's right.
He had a history of bringing in bad eggs who already had problems elsewhere. He didn't care what they did. He brought them in, and look at the culture that he cultivated.
What in the world can you prove that he didn't do? That's my point. You prove to me right now that he covered up? Nothing. Nothing.
Okay.
You don't have proof that he did. That's the whole point of this.
What I'm saying
for 5 years, Art Briles has been vilified in the court of public opinion based on the opinion of a couple of writers who can't prove anything. They've tried for 5 years to find a smoking gun of Art Briles covering something up.
But
nobody has.
But something happened at Baylor.
But nobody can prove that he's the one that was doing it. That's my point.
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody can prove he's the one that was covering it up.
I'm not saying he's the one that's covering up.
Nobody can prove that.
He was the one that he created.
Still can't.
I still think he's the guy. It starts at the top. He was at the top. He created this.
No.
That's bringing these guys on campus.
It doesn't start at the top. He's not the top. That's the whole point. But he's the one that everybody knows. The top is the president of Baylor.
Yeah.
That's who needs to be the one with the bullseye on his back.
Okay.
But nobody knows his name. You know why? He wasn't coaching a successful college football program that wasn't supposed to be successful.
Right. Kenneth Starr, isn't he gone?
Ken Starr or Ian McCaw, remember him? He's the DA or the AD at the time.
Okay.
But guess what? Those guys can get other jobs.
Have they?
Baylor, Ken Starr can still be a lawyer.
Okay. I mean, as a president of a university.
Ian McCaw is an athletic director.
Yeah. Shame on whoever hired him, by the way.
But Art Briles can't. And the reason is, because as soon as this happened, who was the person that got the bullseye on their back and got the blame for the whole thing? Art Briles.
Art Briles.
But what about but that's the point. And nobody can prove that he did anything to cover this up. After 5 years, don't you think,
can he prove that he didn't?
Are you not innocent until proven guilty?
Not in today's world.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make. That's more than blatantly obvious. And all of these, it is. I mean, there's no doubt about that. So where are today just one article from somebody that vilified Art Briles saying, I don't know if I was right.
Well, that doesn't happen in anything. When we talk about Dennis Dodd being completely wrong on his.
That's right.
I mean, that's not going to happen. You don't have people printing redactions anymore or saying I was wrong. That won't happen. Believe me.
And that's too bad. That's too bad because for 5 years now, Art Briles has been the scapegoat for all of this. And after a five-year-long investigation, nobody can prove that he was complicit in the cover-up. Nobody can.
Okay.
And they've tried. Everybody has tried. And nobody can. Now, that's from an NCAA standpoint.
I'm not sure you understand where I'm coming from. I'm not tying him to the stake and lighting the fire. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that he did cover it up. What I'm saying is, he created this culture by allowing these players on campus. That's all I'm saying. And then a lack of control. How many times do we hear that thrown around? I felt like he had lack of control.
Then why didn't the NCAA say that?
Because the NCAA is a joke when it comes to punishing allegations like this.
Then at this point, if all of that was investigated happened, then every one of these people ought to be thrown in jail.
Well, let's go back. It happened.
Ought to be thrown in jail.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
We know the assaults happened.
That's okay.
But from a cover-up standpoint that everybody accuses Art Briles of doing and has for 5 years, if that really happened, shouldn't he be in jail?
Absolutely.
Then why isn't he?
I'm not saying
where
he
is the evidence of him doing
I'm
it?
Not That's saying
and, and
he
so so
it
let
up.
Me ask you this. If tomorrow we hear he's a head coach at Texas Tech, mm-hmm. what are you going to say?
No shocker there. It's Lubbock and would do it.
But what are you going to say?
I'm going to say, okay, that's
horrible
great.
Hire.
I'm going to say, well, if the trends continue, I'm going to get this guy. He got kicked off this team for doing bad stuff. I'm going to go get him because he's good at sports. And he does that. He's already starting to create that culture that turned into what happened at Baylor a few years
ago. But here's the problem. It wasn't just football players.
Okay.
That culture, he's not. What if he's not the one that created it? The entire institution is the one that created it, but he's the one that's getting all the blame for it.
Win at all costs culture? Doesn't matter.
But what if it starting at the top?
And now let's start talking about it as a man. Then how come he didn't step up and say, I don't want this guy on my team?
What if he really didn't know it was happening? I'm just – no one has thought of this part because he's already been
outside of the sexual
crucified.
Allegations, but he brought – bad people in, or he allowed them to stay on the team. No, and they have a history. I'm going to try to, you know, and I get second chances. I get all that, but mm-hmm. there are other times where people, you know, you did something. There's a reason a guy got kicked off a team. How many second chances did the guy have?
How many of these guys was it those decisions made above his head?
And that, okay.
Is my
That's
question.
Okay, I understand that. He's the head coach, though. Why is it happening above his head for his program?
Because you're talking about the culture at Baylor. Maybe
so
it's above his
head. So the president and the
AD
went and said, let's go get that guy.
No. Once the things happen, he's going, okay, like you're saying, this is enough of this. What if those guys are like, put that under the rug.
Those guys?
Ian McCall and the president.
Okay.
And everybody above.
So
and by the way,
they supersede Briles' decision
what
to
if that's
kick
possible?
A player off. See, that's ridiculous.
What
I don't
if
think
that's
I've
possible?
Ever heard that on any college campus.
What if it's possible?
That I mean, that's like movie stuff. It's like necessary roughness. I mean, that's crazy. You'd think
you don't think it's not possible?
The guy, listen, Art Briles won enough. You think he can go into the AD or in the president's office and go, hey, listen, I brought Baylor back from the ashes. This program was horrible before I got to campus. Look where it's at now. And now you're telling me I got to keep this kid on when I don't want him? That's crazy to me.
Well, but here's my point, though. None of what I said and none of what has been said about him has actually been proven to have occurred.
That's all conjecture. I get it.
And yet, Art Briles is stuck at Nowhere Texas High School.
Where he deserves to be.
Even getting protested against at Texas High School.
Mm-hmm.
Where he, but you see, you keep on saying it, and there you don't necessarily have any proof that he did any of
okay,
this stuff.
I'd love to see him wind up in a Lubbock or somewhere of substance of name, and then see if the same patterns start to happen again.
Well, he's never going to get the chance because he's been vilified from the beginning over this whole thing. So the innocent until proven guilty didn't occur for Art Briles. Now I wonder what he can do I mean, think of the compensation that he's lost for the last 5 years. And something that he was, by definition of the NCAA rules, exonerated for. Now, the NCAA part of it, and that's where we're getting a bunch of texts, is a joke. Is this
we can agree there.
Is this the end of the NCAA?
It should be. That ruling just told everybody you can cheat and get away with it. The long and the short of it. Oh, yeah. You're going to ban us for 1 year from a bowl game. Okay. You're going to cut off 10 scholarships. You're not even cutting off the hand. You're just smashing it. It'll heal.
Even worse than that. I think what yesterday's ruling showed you, that as long as the institution is messing up the same way it maybe the football team is, they can't do anything about it. Because the reason why this was an NCAA thing was improper benefits that football players were receiving that regular students weren't. Well, it turns out everybody was receiving the same benefit of the doubt or even the cover-up for these sexual assaults. So therefore, it couldn't be an improper benefit, and the football team doesn't get in trouble. So basically what the NCAA said is, if your entire campus has a culture such as this, we can't do anything to the football team.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
then what's the point of having a governing body like the NCAA?
At this
really,
point,
what's the point?
At this point, to run the basketball tournament?
That's about it.
Is there anything else that they do outside of
baseball, softball?
Holding championships, I guess.
Sure.
So North Carolina. And here's the thing about Baylor. Baylor isn't one of those blue blood, you know, so-and-so got in trouble because Baylor was cheating. You always hear those stories about, you know, Murray State got in trouble because Kentucky was cheating or what have you. Baylor's not that. Baylor's never been that. One of the blue bloods of any college sport.
Oh, no.
And so when they... I mean, you know who's the most happy school in the country after yesterday?
Kansas.
No, even more than that. LSU.
Oh, yeah.
Because the same sort of thing has been going on there.
Yeah.
They got to be jumping for joy.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, there's no way we're getting in trouble. Baylor didn't.
Right.
And North Carolina had literally ghost classes that were paid for with packed taxpayer dollars that didn't exist. Nope.
Yeah.
It's okay. Then when some poor kid has an extra plate of pasta or somebody buys their meal out in town, bam.
And they nail them.
They nail them.
Yeah.
Do you think, or I guess maybe how long, how much longer, maybe the rest of the sports have to, but maybe not. I wonder if you're in an athletic department today of a you know Power Five school, how much are you thinking in your mind? We know we can break away, and the money will be there for football. Can we do it without the NCAA for men's basketball?
So basically, form their own committee.
Yeah.
Right.
And don't need the NCAA's.
And by the way, who's on the selection committee for the NCAA basketball tournament?
It's all ADs and that sort of thing. They're already doing
for
the job.
College football.
There's some more retired guys and coaches and that sort of thing. But there are some ADs there as well, or conference commissioners.
Point is there anybody from the NCAA office on that selection committee making these picks to seed these teams?
I think the only thing they're doing is making the picks of who's on there. On the basketball committee side.
That's easily replaceable.
Sure. The hard part.
You're going to find venues no matter what, as long as the sport is popular and people will go. I don't think that's ever going to be an issue. I mean, the NCAA, aren't they just tournament directors?
Yeah.
They facilitate where it's going to be played.
Deal with the minutia of getting it set up.
Sign the checks for the refs.
And on-site. There's got to be something.
Yeah,
administration.
They're signing the checks and paying the bills for turning the lights on, basically. All easily replaceable.
Yeah, I think what you're going to be looking at is the money. How much extra revenue does that generate for that body of schools versus how much extra cost are we going to have for being the administrator of the tournament, basically?
Right.
It'd be no different than if all the high schools here consolidated together and go, okay, what does it cost us to rent the big house and run the basketball tournament if, you know, the OSSA got out of the way or get them out of the way?
Right.
And that's probably a sizable cost. But you wonder how much revenue, extra revenue, could be generated by, I guess, owning the basketball as opposed to kind of leasing it back to the NCAA.
Yeah, just cutting out the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
it would take years to make, but the NCAA is becoming more and more irrelevant. It's already more or less irrelevant in college football. And I think it's starting to steer that way towards college basketball, but it'll take a few years. I mean, what's crazy is I had this thought yesterday is that it almost feels like, remember when the NIT was the biggest tournament across the land? It almost feels like it could turn around. Like the NCAA probably won't let go of that grasp and say, hey, this is our tournament. We're not going to let it go. It's like, okay, we'll make our own tournament.
Yeah.
Or the NIT can say, step up and go, hello, we have a tournament, and make that more prestigious for, you know, can't teams, if they're invited in the NCAA tournament, can't they say, no, actually, we're accepting the invite to the NIT?
Yeah, I suppose.
In theory.
I suppose you could.
It would take a wave of
schools
to agree to do it.
And I think another difference is when you're talking football, the breakaway would be so much easier because you're only got 65 teams.
Yeah.
Versus what, 3?
Yeah.
30.
And there's some small schools like, listen, we can't help you here. We can't throw in the money to help you pay for this. We rely on the NCAA to pay the bills for this tournament. We can't help you with the startup right now. We just don't have cash flow.
Yeah, and that
especially after what we just
what
went
just
through,
yeah, you know? And that's the I think that might be the timing of all this might be the saving grace for a little bit for the NCAA. Is that depending on what that expense, that startup cost would be?
Yeah.
Schools can't afford to do it right now.
No, they just can't.
Or maybe they're looking at this going, we can do whatever the hell we want to. They're going to run that tournament for us, and outside of that, we can do whatever we want. They can't punish us.
They can't punish us, yeah.
They can't do it,
yeah.
So let's move
on. That's the only way the NCAA exists, is just allow them to pay the bills and run the tournaments, but they're the once dreaded NCAA sanctions aren't that scary anymore, and I'm like, oh, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, is USC football going to be the last one that we see take a major hit?
In any sport, basically?
Yeah.
Looks to be. And this point was made yesterday by Mark Rogers, is the NCAA's punishments as of late, and I say as of late, I mean the harshest one, notably USC, they become so hollow because they're so scared of another SMU. They're so scared that they thought that the SMU would recover from this. We're going to give them the death penalty. Da, da, da. They've never. And I know that they still have a football program, but imagine if that didn't happen, where SMU would be now compared to where they, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They'd probably be in a Big 12 or an SEC.
Yeah.
Because they were a massive program back then.
No doubt about
massive.
That. Massive. And I think when you look at what, you know, a big part of why they got what they got was they got popped three times in a very short period of time. And, you know, you hear that term death penalty, and I don't think people understand what it is. Because you've got people calling, you know, back in the Penn State stuff.
Yeah.
Death penalty. Well, no matter how egregious something is, the death penalty has to do with repeat offenders.
Right.
You got to have been on probation and then get caught doing the same thing basically over and over before that would apply. Same thing here. You know, with Baylor, there anything that stemmed from the Dave Bliss, Patrick Dennehy, all that back, you know, that's been that those sanctions are over. Mm-hmm. You know, the probation or probation period doesn't exist. And so, you know, that's not really an option, which is kind of leads against what Mark was saying, but I do think he's right. I think they saw the devastation that that caused, and I don't think they had any idea. And even in the 30 for 30 about that, multiple people say that of I don't think they had any idea what it was going to do to him, to just devastate that program the way that it did.
Right.
And I guess maybe because of what was causing them to be so good was taken away. And then, of course, just the sheer numbers of kids that wanted to be a part of that experience of bringing it back. I guess in hindsight, maybe you should have seen it coming. Because if you think about teams that just start up, it takes a while.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what they had to do after, you know, 2 years. So maybe they should have seen it. But I don't think they have any stomach for trying to do something. I don't even know if the NCAA has the stomach to try to do what they did to USC ever again.
No, I agree. No, I don't think so either.
I mean,
because USC, in a very small way, suffered almost the same fate as SMU. It's taken them a little bit to recover from that.
It's about a decade.
Been, 10 years, 10 plus years. And they're still not what we remember USC being in the Reggie mm-hmm. Bush, Matt Leinart days. They're right. not.
No.
Their coaches are always seem like be hanging on a limb. They can't find the right guy. The recruits are going elsewhere. They'd rather go to Oregon or.
Yeah, and they just don't have the number. It seems like the depth is always an issue with them.
Yeah.
If one of their stars get hurt, they don't have even this far removed. They don't have a guy to step in like a lot of the other places do.
You know, and if you remember watching them a decade ago and you tune in to watch a home game, the Coliseum would be packed.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be packed. There'd be, you know, that is a huge, huge stadium.
It's like 96 or 98,000.
When it comes to seats in the stadium. Ever since then, fans aren't coming back.
Hmm.
They're just – but that's how it works in the West Coast. If you're not winning, they don't show up. The same could be said about the Lakers at times. If they're not winning, people don't go. Dodgers too. But you tune in ever since then. And I mean, you know that's got to hurt them in the pocketbook, because you tune in now to a home game, USC home game, it looks like a scrimmage at times. I mean, just an optional – it looks like an OU in the 90s.
Yeah, you know, and like you say – the way that that stadium is, the way that the Coliseum is structured, 45,000, you know, 45,000 back in then, and Norman looked, oh, there's definitely not a full house, but it's not just barren.
Right.
45 grand there, looks like nobody showed up.
Right.
You know, the Rose Bowl, same way.
Same way with Rose Bowl.
You know, you get that thing with even, you could even have 65,000 at the Rose Bowl or the Coliseum, and you're still, whoa.
Yeah.
Where is everybody?
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that, you know, that we've seen that back then. It was a tough ticket, and Snoop and Will Ferrell, it was the cool thing to be down there on the sidelines at a USC Trojan game. You don't see those guys hanging around right now. And that probation, I don't think it has anything to do with having a heart. I think that it's just strictly money. And the NCAA is thinking about what money they're costing themselves when they put a probation on a program like that.
And it's why we haven't seen anything really happen to Kansas yet.
No, I mean, this stuff was 5 years ago.
Yeah, and there's still nothing has
five
happened
years
to Kansas.
And, no, I'm talking about Baylor.
Oh, Baylor.
It was five years ago. And it just now.
Yeah,
got finished for nothing.
And we talk about the money side of things and how it affects how we think, of course it's just a theory, that NCAA, it's apparent actually, that they're so scared to really come down on these schools because it will ultimately cost the NCAA money. I mean, shoot, Baylor just won a national title in basketball, for crying out loud. So that took them 5 years. And I just mentioned Kansas. When are we going to see something from the NCAA about them?
Oh, gosh.
It's like, well, we can't bring the hammer down on them. Because what if we give them a X amount of year postseason ban?
I mean, I know everybody's screaming at the radio, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
You know, think about a year ago right now, with Cade Cunningham coming in, you hear kind of the probation is announced for what OSU's getting, for what they did. I mean,
yeah.
If it just nothing, there's no consistency, first off. But here, what I go back to is, it's not like they didn't do anything as far as the investigation. You know, 5 years, and if they did, then the NCAA is even worse look than they are right now. But if they for 5 years, they're down there investigating these claims,
yeah,
that were made mostly in the media. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
And if they can't find enough, whatever that might be, to issue more of a penalty than that, then one of two things is happening. One, what was reported didn't happen to the extent that we all thought it did. Or two, they don't have enough teeth to do anything anyway. So what's their point being an infractions body? They don't have one.
No, they don't.
They don't have the infractions and punishment side of it, right, is done.
And that's the scary thing for me, is that everybody, other schools go, we can cheat and win. We can cheat and get away with it and win.
Oh, I mean, what's...
We could cheat, get our wrists, you know. I mean, we see it growing up in school. We saw a kid get caught doing something bad. They put him in timeout for a minute.
Well, and here...
What happens? Kid goes and does it again. Or say, I got away with it. Or the other kids say, Johnny got away with it.
Well, here's what's even worse than that. This wasn't cheating to win. It's not what this was. This wasn't SMU paying players. This is way more egregious than that. If what was reported to have happened had happened, this is like, I'm trying to think of something that I can say on the radio. This was way worse than just paying a guy to come, a recruit to come play for your team. Right. Way worse than that.
Oh, yeah.
If what was reported happened. And so now I guess what I want to see is this. Does this become more of a criminal matter?
Say the alleged victims start to?
Or the DOJ or whoever sees the NCAA basically punted it to them. And do they get involved?
I see.
And then what comes of that? Because to this point, with anybody that's been looking into this and investigating this, I don't know. With what's being proved, nothing has been proven against these guys. And even against that school, even though we all think something was going on. But we don't know to what extent and who knows. You know what I'm saying? I mean, mm-hmm. It's just all conjecture and opinion at this point. So, if the NCAA can't do anything about it, which they chose not to, I suppose you could even go that way, then somebody has to. Otherwise, these schools know the NCAA isn't going to. So who's going to stop this from happening somewhere else?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to have to get into the law's hand.
You would think. Wouldn't that be kind of your next thought of, okay, well, the NCAA can't do anything to them because of their procedures this way. Doesn't the law have to step in now? If, you know, after 5 years, maybe nobody, the appetite for that is gone. And I'm sure it gets harder and harder and harder to prove a lot of this stuff the further and further away you get from those actions happening. But I just NCAA looks ridiculous. But even more than that is who is going to hold Baylor accountable if they're supposed to be held accountable. Because what happened yesterday didn't do that. If what was reported to have happened down there and the culture that was on that campus was occurring, and you can prove, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, that has to be, something has to be done. And the NCAA doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to even try to do it.
No.
With what they did yesterday.
Right.
And what they handed down. $5,000 of a fine.
Again, slapping the wrist.
I don't even think it's that.
No.
One could almost
fly in the room.
One could almost say the NCAA looks complicit in covering this stuff up. Is that the, if that's all they're going to do? You know what I'm saying? I mean, they look ridiculous. But yep. I wonder why. Question: how do you think the families of the girls that were assaulted are feeling about Baylor and the NCAA?
Yeah,
well, that's I guess that's my point. The NCAA somebody has to do something, and the NCAA either can't because they're toothless or won't because they're gutless.
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B, in my opinion.
So therefore, then this has to, I guess, then the law has to do it.
Yeah.
And I get, and that's another question, I guess, that I would have is where is the law? Are we not? Are we not?
Didn't it start with the law? Didn't this, when the women went to law enforcement and some charges started to come down? I mean, didn't it start there? And then,
so,
then it started to open up like, wait, what's going on in Waco?
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, but that's, then you hear, oh, well, the police are covering it up and all.
Yeah, you start hearing
some
that,
of that stuff. But that's stuff, what I'm saying. Yeah. How much of that is BS? Just reports that flew out there to smear Art Briles from the get-go.
Yeah, and listen.
And make him the face of it.
Working in the media, I get that. I mean,
you know,
that's completely irresponsible from.
That's right.
Any media
and so,
outlet.
And so where did any of that get to? Is what I'm with the families, and you know, they're not just gonna. This isn't gonna appease them. And to be quite honest with you, those families don't care what happens to Baylor from an NCAA standpoint, or Art Briles, or the Baylor football program. They're wanting justice from the justice system for their daughters. You know, and so I wonder how much of this focus needs to be on. Now, wait a minute. Where's the criminal part of this?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Can the family file a civil suit against those individuals involved? That's probably, I mean, that's, again, I think that all has to stem from the criminal side of this. I mean, I don't think they can file a civil suit because the NCAA didn't punish them.
No.
I think that...
Take... I mean, strip this down to victim versus the suspect. I mean, take the Baylor aspect out of it. Take that they played football out of it. Take all of that out of it. Take the NCAA's ruling out of it. It's something bad happened, and there needs to be justice for it. And I you would think this as after all this time, that's already starting. You would think that
you
this
think
is
it'd
happening.
Be done.
You think it would
you
be
think
done.
These guys are in prison?
Then that should be, yeah.
If they did what was alleged, that's my whole point. Without, we don't. It's kind of a sad commentary that we're so much more focused on an NCAA ruling 5 years later, that we really don't even know what happened from a criminal justice aspect of the allegations made on the culture of that campus. We, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We really don't even know. Like, is Sean Oakman in prison? Well, he got drafted into the NFL. I don't think he's doing that anymore, but why? You know what I mean?
Well, I'm looking him up. He was arrested, charged. He was indicted on charges. Second-degree felony sexual assault. Trial of the case began January 26th of 2019. The jury deliberated for just I mean, and it ended 2 days later.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's got to be over.
Jury deliberated for just 45 minutes and found not guilty. The jury cited evidence for consensual sex and the lack of incriminating evidence for their decision.
Well, I mean, at least...
I mean, I went through the...
You may not like the result, but at least that case did get adjudicated to the point of giving somebody the chance at justice.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any way to move that out of, what is it, McLennan County? But that's where it happened.
Yeah.
It's where charges were filed in.
I mean, and then
some would say that's not a fair trial because you had it basically in the... next to the Brazos River.
Yeah, I
know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But that goes to a whole different conversation. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's, I mean, there, that was, he was kind of the most well-known guy at the time that was, as far as the football players go, that was mixed up in this. That's interesting. There's got to be more like that.
Oh, sure, there
are. Just a matter of looking at it. And I almost wonder if, with the reaction yesterday, if a similar fate has been in the court system, and that's why people wanted the institution to pay from the NCAA because they didn't get the justice that was wanted through the courts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Now, there's a full list here of what happened to each player. We don't have time to go through it. Because a reminder, there were...
Oh, there's a bunch of them.
52 allegations made.
How many of those resulted in convictions?
You'd have to go through it.
Go through the list.
We don't have time for it.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, OSSAA approves districts for football starting next year. We had talked about this, week and a half ago or so.
Kind of gave our thoughts.
Kind of given an idea of where we thought it might go.
Yeah.
And who, you know, once we saw those ADM numbers and those were approved, and then, of course, the other is approved as well with these districts. Oh, darn, I took it off.
The districts?
Yeah, here they are. Okay, so at least for a bunch of the folks listening here, the main storyline came out of District 4A1. And you and I had thought, I wonder if they'll move Newcastle into that district with Tuttle and Blanchard. That makes a lot of sense. That's kind of that Tri-City rivalry. Well,
right.
That's exactly what they did. So 4A1 will consist of Cache, Woodward, Elk City, Clinton, Weatherford, Chickasha. John Marshall comes from District 2, and Western Heights comes from Class 5A, I guess. And so Elk City will lose.
I'm going to make a bold prediction, Cotton, and Western Heights is... Do you think they'll even be open?
That's a great question. I wondered that myself.
Would this be a 7-team district?
End up with 2 bye weeks.
If you play a week 0.
Yeah. I wondered that myself.
I mean, they had massive resignations happening just before the start of school, which for a lot of us was today. The Oklahoma State School Board has taken over operations. It seemed that they barely have buses to run.
Right.
Unless something drastic happens.
Yeah, you could definitely see it being a 7-team district.
I can see them saying, you know what? We're shutting down Western Heights.
You could see it.
Yeah.
Woodward, Elk City, Clinton, Weatherford in the same district. First time in a few years.
Love it.
That's happened. But it does. It just feels to me like that's...
Natural?
Natural.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times, even if Woodward is 5A, those teams are even Clinton 3A or 4, Weatherford 3A. Those teams still all try to play in the non-district, which almost seems silly because they ought to be in the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Woodward has Clinton and Weatherford on their non-district this year.
Right.
Elk
they've had
City
Elk
used
in the
to
past.
Pick them up
yeah.
In the past. Yeah.
Until last year. So that'll all make that kind of more like it's supposed to be to
yeah.
me anyway.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that it was Elgin?
That left?
That moved up and
you know,
not
when you're
Cache.
Talking about that, I wonder if, I was surprised. I thought Cache was growing leaps and bounds there just west of Lawton. And I wonder if school district lines were redrawn in a way that brought in maybe a couple more neighborhoods.
Right. And for Elgin.
On the fringe of Lawton, you know. Or those neighborhoods that are already in. I mean, Elgin was is a growing community, just like Cache. Elgin was a growing community, too. And a lot of, you know, that just happens around communities around
metropolitan areas
like Lawton, Oklahoma City, Tulsa. They just grow. Look at Bixby. You know, Bixby gained enrollment. Now they're up in 6A1. Yeah. So this is kind of like that. Elgin gained a lot of individuals who probably work in Lawton and would rather commute and live in Elgin. So not too shocked.
Yeah,
and if it was going to be someone leaving 4A to go up to 5A, I think I would, if you were to ask me without any knowledge, I probably would have immediately went to like an Elgin or Cache. You know, I'm shocked hasn't made the leap to 5A and they're really kind of the middle of the pack in 4A. Is Wagner, because they're kind of in that area of.
See, I was wondering about
Muskogee and Tulsa with
Blanchard, Tuttle, Newcastle, but there's three of them instead of just one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's because of the way that area can grow southwest of Oklahoma City if one of those teams. But they also kind of started pretty low, and then Bridge Creek right there as well. I mean, you've got four 4A high schools in a 20-mile radius or whatever that is,
right
there on the southwest side of Oklahoma. As far as the district goes, it would seem to me that, you know, you lose Bethany, you lose Newcastle. Those have been two, you know, perennial playoff teams here over the past 4 or 5 years. Bring in John Marshall, bring in, like you said, Western Heights and what that'll be, and then Woodward. You know, I don't know if the district got weaker or stronger, but I will say I think the battle there – maybe for the 3, 4, 5, 6, it's going to be a lot more interesting than it was.
You're already trying to project.
Yeah, I think
who could.
If you were sixth the last couple of years, say like, you know, Elk City kind of was, I think you're happy.
Yeah, you think it's presenting them an opportunity.
Because you feel like you got a better chance to beat Western Heights, John Marshall and Woodward than Elgin, the way Elgin was. Yeah. Newcastle
John Marshall
and Bethany.
Adds to the district.
They do.
They've been good the last couple years.
You know who the coach is there? I found this out yesterday.
It's a Woods, isn't it? Or
Jeff Horrocks.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
He's Elk City kid.
Really?
Rashawn Woods went to Enid.
That's where he was at John Marshall.
I think that's
though.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he did go to Enid. You're right.
Jeff Horrocks is the coach at John Marshall.
Oh, cool. Well, cool
he
connection.
He was probably,
there.
I can't remember how old he was, maybe the Kay Davis times, right in that area.
Okay.
Just a little bit younger than us.
Great.
So anyway, that's a little bit of a local connection to John Marshall. Yeah, I think you're right. They've been pretty good. But, you know, Woodward, it'll be interesting to see if them getting out of that 5A district that they were in with, you know, Bishop McGinnis and Carl Albert, how much that helps them.
Oh, I'm sure this is
where
they want to be.
I would think so. I mean, from the travel, from the natural rivalries that are created out here throughout the years, I would imagine that would be the case as well, that they're pretty happy about being back into this 4A1 district where they, you know, you just got to assume you can compete better than when you're playing the perennial 5A state champ on your schedule
Absolutely.
Once every year.
Absolutely.
Outside of that.
Yeah, anything else?
Let's say the Class A's around here stayed the same.
Yeah, not much shakeup there.
Mm-mm.
And you know, A1 is
there was a time same. There was a time where A1 was more Sayre, Merritt, in the southern schools.
Yeah.
Mangum, Carnegie, Hobart. Now it feels like Sayre and Merritt more in Burns Flat. The I-40 schools going north to Thomas, Texoma, Hooker, Moreland, and Fairview. So that didn't change. The one that I'll be dang, here it is. In this list, I can see it better. You know, you and I were searching for Hollis. We couldn't find him.
Did you find him?
B1.
There they are.
There they are. I've got it. I'm looking at this different list, and I can see it better. So you're talking about Hollis with Laverne Shattuck.
That is.
I guess it's.
That's incredible travel.
Yeah, but I don't know where else you put them.
Well, District 2 is Cherokee, Garber, Pond Creek. I mean, that's just as far.
Yeah, you're going. I mean, you're just.
District 3, Canton, Covington, Douglas. That's still northern.
Uh-huh.
O'Keen.
I guess you would think probably Ceilings. District 4. Alex Cyril, Belmont, but that's still a long way.
Still, but you're on this. You're on the southern side of 40. That's incredible for Hollis.
Well, somebody was going to have to do it, and since they're the newest member, turns out it was them. Yeah, Hollis to
yeah. Who would you trade
Beaver.
For? How would you shake this out? You'd
Turpin. Woo.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Glad I'm not paying the fuel bill for that bus ride, for those bus rides. But I knew that they were. Well, last year they weren't really in because they fell out of 11 man back to 8 man with enrollment and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think this is where they wanted to be in the first place. And so after a year away, B1. It could be a good district. I'm trying to line up some guests from our friends Northwest to preview the football season.
Yeah.
Man, why can I not find that? I went to football.
Go to the very bottom.
2020.
Very bottom.
Very bottom. Oh. What? Uh-oh. Boy, I've...
Need help?
I'm on a different screen, apparently, here.
You got to go to the football tab.
I am. 2020. And it starts with Carl Albert, 5A.
What?
Are you not on this screen?
No.
Well, I went to Champions.
No. Go back.
Oh,
where are you?
I've done a bunch of stuff. I went right here to Champions.
No, go football. Sports.
Well,
football, very bottom.
Champions ought to work, too. Are they not giving any love to Jinx? Did they get tired of them winning? And so they didn't put them on the list?
I don't know. You can look at last year's full bracket. This year they do in football. They're not going to have a – not everybody gets in. Are you confused still?
No. I'm reading the text. One of them said when you're in the corner of Southwest Oklahoma, every trip is a long trip. That is very true.
Yes, it is.
It's very, very true. I had this Bill Conley on ESPN. He has his SP Plus rankings for college football that dropped this morning. So I wanted to compare that to the poll that came out, the coaches poll. We can do that tomorrow. Thought there were some interesting things because he breaks it down.
Fucking by, FPI or
it's a little bit different. He kind of looks more at the recent history, what they've got coming back, and then more from an efficiency standpoint. And then he puts like how fast you play and then that kind of stuff into his formula.
Okay.
And he does it for offense and defense, and then that ranks the teams. He had the same top five in the exact same order as the coaches poll. After that, there was some changes. So we can talk about that tomorrow. Here's the question. Are you fired up for tonight?
For tonight. Thursday yes. night.
Thursday Yankees, night, Sox,
oh.
Field of Dreams.
You know what? I will watch. Yeah, I was talking about this last week when you were gone. That, you know, I'd seen that. They're advertising it during the Hall of Fame game. It's interesting to me. Absolutely it is. Now, I said that before I knew what the setup was going to be. I didn't realize that they built an entire new field.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be on the original field. Now, they did play some 14.
Yeah, I think it's too small is the problem.
I think it is, too. And that was kind of cool. I saw some of that last night watching these kids play on that field.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even have it. And that was my big question. Are they going to have a fence or?
You just got to go pick it out of the corn.
And that's what they did with that game last night with the kids. Now, this new setup that they have. This new field that they mm-hmm. built, which is basically behind left field and further out
right.
the original field, there will be a fence. And you'll see more of a modern baseball field, and obviously the size will be bigger. But I get it. And Major League Baseball needs to do more of this.
It's really cool.
They need to do more of this. You know, take some games maybe internationally, like to the Dominican Republic, you know, stuff like that, and have games that matter in unique settings like this. I saw a list that was put out yesterday about, okay, this is a good idea, and it's already starting to get some pretty good reviews. Now, I'll wait and see, and I'll see how it goes tonight. First off, is where's everybody going to park?
Well,
remember the end of that movie where the cars were just all the way to Iowa City? You didn't know. I mean, I was like, where are these cars going
to
park?
It may look like me trying to get into the self-checkout yesterday at Walmart. I was clear in the produce aisle, Jared.
Oh, my God.
That's how far
no.
it was stacked up.
Oh, you know what I do sometimes? I shouldn't give away my secrets on air. When it's crazy like that, I kind of meander over to the Home and Garden and see if anybody's there to Oh, I'm just getting this bag of soy. By the way, can you check in? Can I just check out here? Let him do that.
Yeah, I don't know if that worked with the giant buggy of stuff I had.
No, yeah. But for the baseball game, I will watch. I just like it. It's something different. MLB is horrible at marketing. We've said that forever. This is a.
It's actually shocking. It's actually shocking because they are so bad at a lot of this stuff that they came up with this.
I love it.
30th anniversary of the movie, I guess, is part of this thing.
And I'm sure it'll be all the cool stuff. I bet you Kevin Costner will be there.
Kevin Costner, I saw this morning. It was getting a little dusty in here before you
really
pulled up a chair of him walking out on the new field.
Awesome. Once Ray Liotta will show up.
You know,
he played his dad, and you know.
Yes. I watched Ray Liotta played Shoeless Joe.
Oh, that's right. Who played his dad? It was a no-name guy.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I watched a deal on FS1 last night. I caught like the last 10 minutes about this. And that actor, John Kinsella, was the character's name.
Yeah.
Of his dad.
Right.
I can't remember. It was a dude I'd never seen. As a matter of fact, I was wondering,
James Earl Jones will show up. Maybe he'll give that speech live. Baseball. Ray.
Is he still with us?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought he might have.
How dare you?
Well, that's good news to me, because I was afraid he wasn't with us.
Now, what I want to see happen, I know there's a fence, but hopefully there's a way they could do this.
There's corn behind it.
I know, but I hope the teams walk out of the corn onto the field to play the game.
We may be taking it a step too far with the MLB
cool
marketing
would
genius.
That be?
Oh, it
would
be the greatest.
But I know there's a fence there. You'd have to find a way.
Well, you could build a gate.
Build a few gates and they just appear out of, like, where's the team? Where's the team? And then the fans realize they're walking out of the corn. That's pretty cool.
Well, you would think that would be the easy part of this. Thinking of it was the hard part. Having the guys walk out of the corn should be the most simple part of this whole thing.
Yeah. I bet. What other games do you want to see? I mentioned some.
So here's some on, like, you know, basketball and an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, they've done that.
Done some of that. Gosh. Is there a field at Cooperstown?
Yes.
Why not play
there?
They
used to have a Hall of Fame game that was an exhibition game. It didn't count. No, excuse me. No, they'd play in the middle of the year, but it didn't count. They're saying, why not just play the game and make it count? And it kind of piggybacks on what I was saying last week about the NFL Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
I'd wish they'd make that game count. Play it in the middle of the year
instead of playing in some sending two teams to England.
If you're taking the games to England at 9 a.m. in the morning our time, why can't you just have those games like that in our
Have the Browns or the Bengals play a home game there? Matter of fact, have them play there.
Yeah.
Of course, one of them make be it, mad because they lose a home game and all that.
Well, you're already losing it for the London stuff.
Yeah.
Fans will still show up. You can still make
baseball.
Money.
I mean.
Someone mentioned a Sandlot game. The treehouse out in the over what center field?
I mean, just for our own, you know, ease of watching, it'd be pretty cool to have a game right down the street here at Ackley Park in the old Rock Field.
I got one that takes the cake.
Rockford Peaches.
I got one. Oh, that's a good idea.
Have one in some of those stadiums if they still exist.
That's a cool idea. Here's the one that takes the cake. A rookie of the year game. And you get some kid out there pitching to him.
Yeah, and then the
Cubs versus the White Sox or – no, the Yankees. Or
no, Cubs else? Versus Devil Rays, because then the closer on the other side could be the old man teacher that came out of retirement after he hurt his arm.
The Rocket.
What's his name? The rookie. Dennis Quaid was the rookie.
Oh, the rookie, movie. Yes. Yeah.
Jim
the
Morris.
Rangers
Jimmy
versus,
Morris.
Yeah, Rangers versus the Rays.
I got to tell you, there's few movies where every time I watch it, a little tear comes to my eye. There's multiple parts in that one.
Yeah,
that
that's
happens.
A good one.
Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to